ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतिरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 85 टेक्स्ट 55 एंड 56। Difficult to read. Prithvyamrita prayastasya pita tesham gadabhrita narayanango samsprisha pratilabdhatma darshana प्रीतामृता प्रयास्तस्य पिता ते शेषं गदाभृत नारायणं संस्पृश्य प्रतिलब्धात्मा दर्शना प्रीतामृता प्रयास्तस्य पिता शेषं गदाभृत नारायणंगो संस्पृश्य प्रतिलब्धात्मदर्शना पितामृतं प्रयास्तस्य मतजीस पित्वा हैविंग ड्रंक अमृतम नेक्टरीन पाया मिल्क तस्य हर पिता ऑफ व्हाट हैड बीन ड्रंक शेषम द रेमिनेंट्स गदाभृता ऑफ कृष्ण द विल्डर ऑफ द क्लब नारायण of the Supreme Lord Narayan, Krishna, Anga of the body, Samsprisha by the touch, Pratilabdha regained, Atma of their original self as demigods, Darshana, the perception. There's a second verse, verse 56, also part of this. We read the word to word translation. Te, they, namaskritya, bowing down, Govindam, to Lord Krishna, Devakim, to Devaki, Pitram, to their father, Balam, and to Lord Balaram, Nishatam, as they looked on, Sarva, all, Bhutanam, the people, Yaya, they went, Dhamma, to the abode, Diva Akshim, of the demigods. Translation: by drinking her nectarine milk, the remnants of what Krishna himself had previously drunk, the six sons touched the transcendental body of the Lord Narayan, and this contact awakened them to their original identities. They bowed down to Govinda, Devaki, and their father and Balaram, and then as everyone looked on, they left for the abode of the demigods. Purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna remained as an infant with Devaki and Vasudev for only a very short time. First, the Lord appeared before them in His four-armed Vishnu form, and after hearing their prayers, He changed Himself into an apparently ordinary infant for their pleasure. But to save Krishna from the suffering of His brother's fate, Vasudev at once removed Him from Kamsa's prison. Just before Vasudev took Him away, Mother Devaki suckled Krishna once so that He would not feel thirsty during the long trip to Nanda Vraja. This we learn from the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Goratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchan Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jayashi Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So very beautiful words, very interesting lessons that we can learn. if you see in this verse, we know the background that Devaki and Vasudev are meeting Krishna and Balaram. Vasudev realizes, or rather recognizes, not realizes, recognizes the supremacy of the Lord and is offering him wonderful prayers to the Lord. And subsequently after that, Mother Devaki is interacting with Krishna. And this particular portion of the Bhagavatam, like any other portion, every word, every syllable of the Bhagavatam is teaching us some profound lesson. Something that as a sadhaka, or for that matter even as a rasika bhakta, we can learn or we can relish in the Bhagavatam. So one of the very important principles in Krishna consciousness is, it is not simply based upon the externals, but it is very much dependent upon the details that we follow. It is not a activity or an external based understanding that we have. When we begin Krishna consciousness, we realize, and naturally so, that our understanding is quite superficial. We judge things based on externals, how a person looks, how a person talks. That's what we judge. But as we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, as we get more understanding of Krishna consciousness, we understand that it is not just based upon, not to say that the externals are not important, but not simply based upon the externals, but it very, very seriously depend upon the details that we understand in Krishna consciousness. So here, when we talk about externals and the details, a very, very important aspect that we need to understand is to strike the right balance. Because we might not really recognize, but every single moment what we are supposed to do is strike a balance in our life. Because the tendency of a jiva soul is to be an extremist. Not a terrorist, but an extremist. What does the extremist mean? That if you see a pendulum, it goes on one side and goes back, and goes on one side, comes back. So the tendency is to just be very clear, either it is black or it is white. But yes, from one perspective, we don't like grey areas. But on the perspective that we are talking about, it is important to strike the balance to have the right understanding. Because it's very easy to be extremist. As if just this one aspect I want to understand. But the world is not just dual. It is this mixed with so many black and white and so many shades of grey. That's the world. So if we do not understand the balance, we do not learn to strike the balance in our life, then we will have tremendous difficulty surviving in this world, and we can cause a lot of difficulties to people who are around us. Now what am I trying to say with this striking the balance? Here we understand that Devaki, the mother of Krishna, now it is not just mother of Krishna, you know, the way we say it, the mother of Krishna. Who is Krishna? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Devaki is the mother. Krishna is happily addressed by using her name. Devaki Nandana. Devaki Suta. Devaki Pran. So she is not an ordinary person, that the Lord is happily being addressed by her name. Not ordinary, isn't it? Must be a very special devotee. Must be a very, very advanced devotee. So Devaki is the mother of Krishna. So here, we find a very, very amazing situation.
that Devaki is telling Krishna in the previous verses that Krishna, I understand that you are Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now she recognizes Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not that she doesn't know it. She knows it, she says it. In the previous verses, we all read it. Vasudev says it, Devaki says it, that I know you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But just like, she comes to the point, I know you are Supreme Personality of Godhead, but just like you got the sons of your guru, the son of your guru back, can you also get my sons back? So now, if you just give a little deeper thought to it, this situation appears from a perspective quite mundane. What are these two situations that Devaki is talking about? First is to have a desire to meet someone who is dead long back. Now if you meet somebody, you know, and that person is talking about somebody whom he or she loves, and that person has died 20, 30, 40 years ago, I said, kaash main use mil sakta hoon. I wish I can meet him. I wish I can talk to him. I wish I know where he or she is. Now, what will you call this sort of a discussion from a general perspective? I said, well, don't be attached. It is long back. This person is gone. What are you talking? So Devaki is saying the same thing. Now, it has been decades, not just one decade, decades since her son are gone. And when she comes to Krishna, she knows Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the first thing she is asking is, Krishna, can I see my sons back? And she's saying, just the way you did for your guru. The second thing she's talking about, quite mundane in one sense, from a particular perspective, she's saying, she's comparing, just like you did for your gurus, you do it for me. Now, you know, if somebody says that, ki aapne uske liye waisa kiya, mere liye karenge. That you have done something for that person, can you do it for me? That's very mundane. This whole idea of comparing is not very, very spiritual understanding. Because as spiritually we understand that things don't happen the way it happens for others. We have to be happy the way we are, and they have to be happy the way they are. Yes or no? Yes? So this idea of comparing, or the idea of thinking that if something good has happened to that person, why not it happens to me also? That's not a very, very advanced spiritual understanding. Yes? We are supposed to be happy. Atma ramascha muniyo nirganti api urukrame. Krishna says that you become Atma Ram. Don't be, you know, what is it? Brahma Bhuta Prasadna Atma Na Sochati Na Kangshati. Krishna said in the Gita that you should be Prasadna Atma. You should be on the Brahma Bhuta platform. And what is the Brahma Bhuta platform? A person neither hankers nor laments. Now apparently if you analyze, Devaki is hankering and lamenting. Hankering that she wants to see the sun back. Hankering that what you did for your guru, please do it for me, I am your mother also. Get the sons back. So, it is quite interesting if you analyze this. And we learn a very interesting lesson from this. When Arjun spoke to Krishna, in somewhat a similar situation, that Krishna, I don't want to kill this family members because I don't want to be the cause of their death. Krishna said, you are a fool. You are attached to these family members. You are actually a fool. And he spoke the whole Gita to him. That's to train him to be detached. But when Devaki is saying something similar, may not be exactly similar, but she's saying that I'm attached to these children and I want to see them. Krishna just goes with his brother Balaram to the Sutala Loka and tries to get and gets the sons back. So what do we learn from this very interesting situation where Arjun and Devaki both are in somewhat a similar situation, but the way Krishna is reacting to the situation is completely different. To one, Krishna is very much accepting, yes, brother, you want this? Right away, I'll do it. And by the way, both were very close to Krishna.
Devaki is very close to Krishna and Arjuna is very close to Krishna, equally close. But to one, Krishna just gave him the knowledge, jnan. Don't be attached. Your duty as a kshatriya is to fight. Krishna could have told Devaki, Mother Devaki, why are you attached to the children? They are dead long back. And plus we are there, me and Balram are still there. Be happy with what you have. Why are you hankering for what you don't have? He could have said the Gita to her also, yes or no? He could have easily said the Gita to her, but Krishna just said, yes, Mother. If you want your sons back, I will go. And he went to the whole task of getting the sons back and got the sons back. So from this particular situation, we understand that based on a person's time, place and circumstance, the way he or she is bound in a particular way, we need to learn to accommodate, adapt and accept the way they behave. Circumstantially or situationally, a person may behave in a different way than another person behaving. Because based on a particular circumstance, based on a particular situation that a person is. So here, we need to learn this lesson of sensitivity in dealings with people, and specifically in our context, dealing with devotees. So what does it mean to be, what is the meaning of being sensitive to the dealings? We have to understand that no matter who, however advanced a person may be, or in whatever situation that person may be, he or she will behave in a particular way based circumstantially. For example, a lady, a female, will behave in a particular way, and a male will behave in a particular way, which may be different based on the way God has made them. So the first situation is, based on the way God has created a male or a female, both will behave in a different way. Now you cannot expect a female in a gender scenario to behave like a male, and you cannot expect a male to be behaving like a female. It is required that a male understands the psyche of a female and accepts, adapts and accommodates the particular female the way she is behaving. If we need to deal with a female. Or similarly, a female has to accept, adapt and accommodate a male. Similarly, an old person may behave differently than a young person based on experience. The first situation we're talking about, based on the way Krishna has made us, we'll behave in a different way. Second is, based on experience, a particular person may not behave in a particular way the way you may expect him, because experience has made him a different person. An old man, you know, when he sees some electronics, he will not be excited. And if a son shows a particular electronics item to the father, "Father, I got this as a gift. I'm so happy." The father will say, "Oh, very good." And the son cannot say, "Well, father, you're not really participating in my happiness." But for the father, it is not, because he doesn't have experience of excitement with electronics. But when the father plays the old Hindi movie song, the father is just so happy. "Oh, this is such a beautiful song." And the son says, "Just shut this stupid song down. Let us play this other song." Right? You see this difference? In a way, an old person behaves, in a way, a young person behaves. So based on experience, based on likings, there will be a differences in the way a person behaves. So again, the first is the way Krishna has made us. The second is, based on the experience that we have, we will behave differently. The third is, a brahmachari, I'm just giving an example, a brahmachari will behave in a particular different way than a grihastha in a particular situation. Based on the understanding that you have because of situations. Just an example. It is natural. It is not something wrong. So a brahmachari will behave in a different way. A grihastha will behave in a different way in a particular context. You know, when a brahmachari, I remember, you know, when we go abroad, you know, we check what is the maximum luggage allowed, and we say sometimes it is 32 kilos, it's 30 kilos, and literally, you know, between three of us, we have 90 kilos of bags,
exactly, we weigh it, and every kilo is utilized because we need it. And sometimes we go to a particular place and we have such huge bags. I tell them in advance, my dear friend, if you are coming to pick us up, please get a significantly large car, because you know sometimes they get a very small car and they're figuring out how to put our bags and how to fit us. And then one brahmachari in a place where I went, he said, Prabhu, you know, such a big bag, what do you put in? I said, and he opened the bag. I said, my dear friend, you know, there is a whole bag full of prasad. And if there is any casualty, and in places like Ukraine, you guys don't serve us prasad the way we eat. So we need to carry it here. We need to carry the right amount of food. So we need these bags. So for a brahmachari to see big bags, I said, what is this big bags? And he might call it too much. I won't use the word maya, but too much responsibility. For a grihastha, it is a requirement. It's a requirement, and nothing wrong. Just a simple example, and there's so many situations that we can talk where the way a grihastha will behave and the way a brahmachari will be completely different based on his understanding of a situation. So first is the way Krishna has made us. Second is through our experience. Third is through our understanding. And the fourth is given our aptitude. A brahmanical oriented devotee will behave completely different in a scenario than a vaishya oriented devotee. I mean, you know, every devotee has particular orientations, right? You have a brahmanically oriented devotee. All are Vaishnavas, but you have a vaishya Vaishnav and you are a brahmana Vaishnav. Naturally, it is going to be there. And when there's some business opportunity, no matter whether you are a sannyasi or a brahmachari or a grihastha, a vaishya will be excited. Prabhuji, let's do this. And we have examples. I don't want to quote names to embarrass. But we have examples. You get into a situation, a business situation, even though he is a brahmachari or a sannyasi, he will be excited. Let's do this work. Let's earn money for Krishna. And a brahmanical devotee said, Prabhuji, let me just patan patan yajan yajan is very good. I'm happy. I'm happy that you make the money. And you will say, well, what is wrong? Who is right? Is that this devotee right or that devotee right? Both are devotees. And both are serving Krishna. But the way they behave is completely different. The way they relate to the same situation is completely different. So, what we understand is that the science of relationships, the science of dealings is so very important, so very sensitive, that we cannot have a blanket rule for all people. If Krishna had a blanket rule for everybody, Krishna would have told the Gita to Devaki right now. So Devaki, mother Devaki, I think you need to hear the Gita. You are just too much lamenting about things which are not supposed to be attached to. So I think here is the Gita. And he would have told the Gita. But here, Krishna behaved in a different way to Arjun. He behaved in a different way. So from this very, very... a very, very small incident, but there's a profound lesson. The lesson of dealings with people. If Krishna has no problems dealing with people the way they are, I don't think we should have problems dealing with people. And in fact, not only we should have no problems, but we have no right to deal with them the way we think right. We have to deal with them the way they are. We have to understand that. So Krishna is very happily understanding situations, and he's having a very, very, a very elastic bandwidth. You understand what? We have this bandwidth, you know, based on the traffic in a particular website. A particular company recommends elastic website. So where you have less traffic, the bandwidth uses less, so you are paying less. When traffic increases to the stripe, naturally the bandwidth increases, so you are paying. Otherwise you pay a large sum of money for a large bandwidth when you don't have traffic. So it's called elastic bandwidth. Similarly, a devotee needs to have a very elastic bandwidth of dealings with people. And Krishna is supremely elastic, supremely accommodating, supremely adapting, and supremely accepting the people the way they are and deal with them accordingly. Deal with them or reciprocate with them accordingly. Because the fact is, we are living in a community. If we are living in isolation, all these things doesn't really matter, because you know we don't really need to deal with anybody. But the fact is, we are living in a community and we will continue to stay in a community. It is very, very important to learn this very, very important lesson of how to deal with people. And every person, based on his scenario and situation, will deal in a particular way. And if we learn to put ourselves in the other person's shoes and understand why he or she behaves in a particular way, we will be so much easy to accept that person. Otherwise, I tell you, it is just so difficult. It's just so difficult to accept the way people are. And whether it is in the Grihastha ashram, it is causing huge amounts of turmoil, huge amounts of relationship issues. Because the fact is, we are not able to accept the way people are. And here Krishna is so wonderfully showing by his example. Devaki is saying, I need the sons back. Krishna is saying, yes, Mother Devaki, I need to fulfill your desires, because as a son, I need to fulfill your desires. And Krishna is dealing with Devaki as a mother. I remember once, you know, we had gone to China, and the devotees were sharing some of the wonderful stories about Tamalakrishna Goswami Maharaj. And Tamalakrishna Maharaj, I like this story very much, very nice lesson that we learned from this. So Tamalakrishna Maharaj's brother, his name is Kal, he was becoming a devotee. So you know, Tamalakrishna Maharaj became a devotee, and after many years he also became interested in Krishna consciousness. His brother, very much a devotee even now, and his wife, both were becoming devotees. So the people asked Tamalakrishna Maharaj, Maharaj, will you initiate your brother? And Maharaj said a beautiful statement, a very, very human statement. He said, I can have many, many disciples, but I only have one brother. Let him remain my brother. Interesting, isn't it? That, you know, I will have so many of disciples, and which obviously I will, when if Krishna tells me, I will do the service of being their spiritual master, but I have this one brother. Let him remain my brother. Let me deal with him as a brother. And of course, subsequently, Kal is initiated by Giriraj Maharaj. He is now Kalachanji, Kalachand Prabhu. But from this, we understand that Krishna also deals with people in a very individualistic way. We as devotees, we will have our parents, and no matter how great devotees we became, they will deal with you as parents. We want them to deal with us as parents. And that's easy, dealing with parents, because parents remain parents. But the main important thing that I'm trying to drive here is the way friends deal with friends. We have our friends. We used to be together in Krishna consciousness, and you know, two friends working. We have this typical Hindi movie story, two friends together. One friend became a rich man, other friend has become a poor man, and then another rich man. Hey, tere paas kya? And we also know in Mahabharat, we have this example of what? Duryodhana and Drupad. Yeah. So then two friends, they were together, and they know. Drupad said, oh, what do you have now? We don't call ourselves equals anymore. I am much different than you. And that caused a huge problem. That was the seed of the Mahabharata war. One of the seeds, of the many seeds of Mahabharata war, because Dronacharya wanted to take revenge on Drupad. And that's why he trained the Pandavas. Right? I mean, we know the whole story. Similarly, we must understand that we need a relationship with seniors, and seniors will remain seniors. Very easy to accept them as seniors, because they will remain seniors. Spiritual master, advanced devotees, they will remain seniors in our life. But the problem comes with equals and juniors. It is very difficult to really deal with an equal when an equal sort of apparently, because of his pious karma, good karma that he has, he grows very rapid in Krishna consciousness. You may not grow that way. And when I say growth, not just growth spiritually, but grow even in the managerially, or in the hierarchy of ISKCON or Krishna consciousness, becomes very difficult. But we must understand that if you remove these differences, and we should always relate to that person as a friend. that a friend should remain a friend. That means he can tell you whatever he wants, because that's what a friendship is all about. Friendship should always remain friendship. That's very important. Krishna dealt with Devaki as a mother. Mother had a request. Krishna fulfilled. It's my duty as a son to fulfill her request. I will go and fulfill her request. Krishna didn't become a philosopher to Devaki. Krishna became a son. Krishna remained a son. Interesting point. So I think we must understand this particular aspect from this verse. And another very, very interesting aspect in this verse is explained that Krishna got the sons back in this verse. The six sons have come, and Mother Devaki was just overflooding with motherly love. So much of profuse mamata, mamatva, not mamatva, matrutva, I mean. The motherliness was so much overflooding that she wanted to feed them milk from her body. And this children, they came and they drank the milk, and it's so wonderful. It is explained that this milk was actually the remnants of Krishna. It was Krishna Prasad. And as wonderfully explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, so wonderful, so human-like, and so natural. The Mother Devaki, when Krishna was in the jail, he came as Narayan, the forearm, and then he said, "Oh, this is too much." He became a normal human being. And as we know from here that Vasudeva was taking Krishna to Nandavraja, as explained. But Devaki said, no, but my son will feel thirsty and hungry. So the only once she gave her breast milk to Krishna, and this breast milk became Mahaprasad. And then when this six sons, they took Mahaprasad, it was such a powerful effect. They again understood their original identity. We all are suffering from serious identity crisis. We are constantly identity crisis, and all the more when we become devotees, there's much more identity crisis, because you know the mind is telling us to identify as a body, and the intelligence and the soul is saying you are the soul. Serious, and we all minute to minute are suffering from this severe identity crisis. And here we understand that when they took the breast milk of Devaki, these six sons, they realized their real identity as demigods. They had gone through a lot of problems, you know, sons of Kalnemi before that and some other things. And then they realized, so they went back to the place where they really belong. They achieved their original identity. So there is very, very great interesting power in Prasad. There's a beautiful story which I came across of a devotee named Ravi. Not a recent, very old story, but his name was Ravi. And he was staying in a place called Antarvedi. This is in South India. And he was a very, very great devotee, a Grihastha devotee, and he wanted to worship Krishna with flowers, with beautiful flowers. And he was a Grihastha also. So he made a house, and around his house he had a whole land. He constructed huge tall walls around his land, and he made a beautiful fragrant garden around his house. And there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of flowers which were growing there. Fragrant flowers, the smell of the flowers would be going through a large area around. People would be attracted, but they couldn't come because he built big walls. And the way to enter the garden was through his house. So nobody could enter until he has the permission of this devotee named Ravi. And he would just pluck these flowers, make a beautiful garland, and offer it to the deities in the nearby temple. The deities of Ranganath, explained. And then he would also give these flowers to the different brahmanas to help them serve in their service. And whatever remained, he would sell it, and he would make his livelihood. He was a Vaishya. He was a Grihastha. He had to make his livelihood. So seeing this beautiful fragrance, and smelling this beautiful fragrance, this demigod named Jayant, he's always little naughty. We have this another story of Jayant. So this Jayant said that, I want these flowers. I will not obviously get it if I ask him, he will not give it to me. So he would come every day in the night, and of course he didn't have a material body, he had a demigod body which can be seen by humans, not necessarily a spiritual body, but a demigod body. So he would come and he would pluck away a lot of flowers and go away, and Ravi was wondering what's happening, where are the flowers, who's stealing it. So after a few days he remained awake, and then he again remained awake. He was trying to just make sure that nobody's stealing the flowers, but to his surprise still the flowers got stolen. He said, I couldn't see anybody, but still the flowers are stolen, what happened? So Ravi was a great devotee of Lord Narasingadev. So he started praying to Narasingadev. He said, Narasingadev, please, this is not good. I am not able to do my service to deities here of Ranganath. I can't do a service to you. So Narasingadev came into his dream, as explained. And he said that, whatever paraphernalia, whatever remnants you have of mine, just put it all over the garden. I said, why? He said, just do it. So he just put on the, usually we will not do that, right? Remnants. He just put it all on the on the garden. On the soil, on the floor, and then he said, "Now go to sleep. Don't worry. The thief will be caught automatically." So Jayant came again, and moment Jayant came, he stepped on one of the remnants. And moment he stepped on one of the remnants, he lost his power as demigod. He became an ordinary person. He had a whole chariot. He had his chariot driver. He had a chariot. He couldn't climb the chariot because he lost his powers. Because his chariot is climbed by only people who are demigod body. He lost his power. He said, now what do I do? What do I do? I'll be caught. And the charioteer instructed him. I think charioteers are good at instruction. Krishna became a charioteer, instructed him. Here his charioteer instructed him. Jayant, boss, you are in big trouble now. The reason you have lost your power is because you offended Krishna's prasad. You stepped on it. You lost all your powers. You don't understand the power of prasad. You don't understand the power of remnants. I said, but now what do I do now? I didn't know it was there. Now what do I do? Now you go to Kurukshetra. And there are many, many great devotees who are hearing Bhagavat. You go there and they have many utensils which they clean every day for their personal usage. You go and clean their utensils. And when you clean the utensils, slowly you will understand the glory of prasad and you will get your demigod body back. He went there and for years it is explained. He was cleaning. This great demigod was cleaning the vessels of this great devotees who were hearing Bhagavad Katha in the holy land of Kurukshetra. He cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned. Then he got his demigod body back and went up. The glories of the remnants of the Lord, in this case Narasingadev. Narad Muni. Who more than Narad Muni knows the glory of remnants? Because he knew himself when he was a maidservant's son, he was serving the Bhakti Vedantas. What a brilliant story this is. Who is Narad Muni? Such a powerful acharya of our sampradaya. And we hear from Bhagavatam that how by the faith and by the profuse blessings that he had in the blessings of the Bhakti Vedantas and the profuse faith he had in the remnants, he became Narad Muni. So Narad Muni, knowing the power of remnants, it is explained that one day he went to Vaikuntha. This was after he became Narad Muni. And one day he went to Vaikuntha and he said, Lakshmi Devi, I was desired, can you fulfill it? Lakshmi said, oh Narad Muni, I'm just so happy to see you. I'm always happy to fulfill your desires. You are like my son. Please tell me what to do. I said, you're sure, mother, you will fulfill any of my desires? I said, yeah, I promise you any of my desires, of your desire will be fulfilled. Narad Muni said, please give me some remnants of Lord Narayan's prasad. Who is asking this? Narad Muni is asking this. What is he asking? He's asking for remnants of Narayan's prasad. Lakshmidevi said, please, Narada Muni, my sincere request is, ask for anything else other than this remnants. I said, why? So just few days back, Narayan told me, Lord Narayan, said, please do not give my remnants to anybody unless until you have my permission. Narayan doesn't want to give his remnants. But Narada Muni said, but now you have promised. You must find some way out. I desperately need remnants because I know the power of remnants of Krishna, of Narayan's prasad. So then, Lakshmi says, well, I don't know what will I do because he has strictly told me no and I don't want to displease him by even asking him. So she went that day to serve Lord Narayan. She was serving prasad to Lord Narayan. And she was trying to really remain happy. But of course, we all know situations can be seen from our face. The face is the best index, isn't it? So the Narayan could see, and when Narayan is in the heart of everybody, including Lakshmi Devi, he knew. Lakshmi Devi, you're not looking very happy. What happened? Lakshmi said, well, you know, Narada Muni is asking for this Mahaprasad, and you have told me not to give it to anybody. Narayan has a wonderful husband who is always eager to fulfill the wife's desires. A good husband always does that. Yeah? I said, don't worry. For today, I will take you away from that promise which I have taken from you. You take some remnants and take it away. When I am not seeing, I am seeing in some different direction, take the remnants. As if I have not seen. You know, there is always a way out in any situations. And devotees need to learn that. We cannot be dogmatic and fanatic. I mean, not Narayan is not fanatic. When he can be. And Narayan says there, well, don't worry. If when I look this side, and this is, it looks quite funny, isn't it? Narayan is telling Lakshmi, when I look this side, as if I'm not seeing, you take the remnants away. Fine. So then Lakshmiji, when Narayan was looking the other side, she remnants away, she gave the remnants to Narada Muni. Narada Muni was in supreme ecstasy, jumping and dancing with his veena. He said, Jai, Jai, this is great. He was just so ecstatic taking the Mahaprasad. And he took the Mahaprasad. And in his ecstasy, the ecstasy is directly proportional to the faith you have in Mahaprasad. So he had supreme faith, so that was directly proportional to his ecstasy. He was in ecstasy and going all over the creation, all the universe. And in his complete ecstasy, he reached Kailash, Lord Shiva's abode. And he was dancing. Lord Shiva said, well, I'm supposed to be a great dancer. What are you dancing so nicely? I mean, what is making you dance so wonderfully with your veena? And he said, well, I have tasted the Mahaprasad of the Lord. Please understand, these are not some ordinary people discussing ordinary things. These are great people discussing apparently ordinary things like tasting prasad. But these are great people. So what discussion they are doing is great discussion. Let us not just consider it to be some exaggeration. This is real, my dear friends. This is real. Have faith in this story. So Lord Shiva is saying, well, Narada Muni, you didn't get prasad for me. Mere liye nahi laya. This is what... you took prasad, you didn't get for me. How is it? How can you be so unfriendly? Narada Muni said, oh, sorry, but I was so much ecstasy. I just took away everything. And as he was looking, he said, there's some little prasad in my nails. Inside the nails. He said, I will give that to you. Shiva said, oh, thank you very much. So he removed something from his nails. Can you imagine how much can be in a nail? He removed it and took it to give it to Shiva. And Lord Shiva ate it and he has explained that he started doing tandav nritya. Now please, I was so fascinated with this story. I said, just imagine the personalities I'm discussing is Narada and Shiva, who are otherwise very dhir, gambhir. Shiva is always in meditation, very, very composed. But when he ate prasad, he lost all composure. He became ecstatic. He started doing tandav. And seeing his tandav, his wife Parvati came and said, Lord Shiva, what happened? It's not time for annihilation now. Why are you doing tandav? I said, but this prasad is so ecstatic, I couldn't control myself. And what he ate was just a small, tiny particle of prasad. And Parvati said, you didn't give me. I'm your better half. At least give me half, if not the better half. Lord Shiva said, oh, I forgot. And Lakshmi and Parvati said, I want that. And she became apparently so very angry that fire started coming. Parvati, powerful personality, lady. Fire can start coming, and the whole upper, lower, and the middle planetary system was on fire, as explained in this beautiful story. Have faith. This is a real story. Don't doubt it. And then Lord Narayan came. He said, what's happening to my creation? I'm a little fast forwarding. And Lord Narayan came and said, Parvati, what do you want? I said, my husband didn't give me any prasad. I want Mahaprasad. I said, don't worry, Narayan. Said, I'll give you a whole plate full of prasad to you. Just get this anger out of your system. I'll give the whole Mahaprasad. And Parvati said, I'm not like these people who are just attached to their own deliverance. I want Mahaprasad to every single of my children in this creation. This is all my creation. I'm not just happy with getting it for myself. Everybody should get it. And Lord Narayan said, don't worry. Tathastu. So be it. Everybody will get it. She said, but how? I said, when I come in the form of Lord Jagannath. Jagannath Swami ki? When I come in the form of Lord Jagannath, I will make sure that this husband of your Lord Shiva is little far away from me. But your temple as Bimala Devi will be next to me. And my Mahaprasad will first come to you. So the Prasad of Lord Jagannath first comes to Bimala Devi, and it explained that Mahaprasad is later on distributed to everybody. The dogs, the animals, the chandalas, the brahmanas, everybody in Jagannath Puri get to honor the Mahaprasad, because that is the promise of Lord Narayan. That as Lord Jagannath's Mahaprasad, the power of Mahaprasad. So sometimes, there's one more last story. We have 2 minutes or 5 minutes, with a kind permission, Radha Gopinath Prabhu. This is a very interesting story. This is another beautiful story we like to end here, and a wonderful lesson that we can learn. The story of this great devotee named Kalidas. Kalidas was a person from a very high, high birth. He came in the same family as Raghunath Das Goswami. I mean, he was elder to him, so he was in the same very Suvarnavarnik, very high family. And Kalidas had a very unique desire that he wanted to take Mahaprasad of every single devotee. And he had successfully taken it of all devotees in Bengal. Can you imagine what a feat? Every single devotee's Mahaprasad he had accepted. And then he said his focus was now on Jagannath Puri. He went to Jagannath Puri. Now every devotee in Jagannath Puri, I want the Mahaprasad. They went, as explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela. He went to the house of a very, very great devotee named Jadu Thakur and his wife. And Jadu Thakur was apparently from not a very, very high class, not high birth, lower birth. So he was discussing, and he asked Jadu Thakur, please, I want your remnants. And Jadu Thakur said, no, please don't say that. How can you think of him, the remnants of mine? And Kalidas said, okay, no problem, don't worry. So he gave him, he said, this is a gift. I got some mangoes for you. I said, oh, mangoes. And you know, a devotee is intelligent. He knows what other Vaishnava will not say no to. And he knows the right fruit to give also. And we'll understand how. He gave him mangoes. And Jadu Thakur was saying, oh, thank you. Mangoes are always welcome. So he took the mangoes, and Kalidas went away. Not that he went away, but he was at the backyard waiting to see what's happening. And Jadu Thakur, as soon as Kalidas went away, he told his wife, please cut this mangoes, offer it to Krishna, and let's honor. Because mangoes, we must honor immediately. So they cut the mangoes and they offered, and both of them, they honored these mangoes, they sucked the skin, they sucked the seeds, and without really knowing anything, as in a normal way, she threw the seeds and the skin behind in the backyard. And we all know the story. Kalidas was waiting there, and he came ecstatic within, but very sadly without. And he just took the remnants and said, at last I've got the remnants of Jadu Thakur. As the story goes further, because of his complete conviction in the remnants, one day he went with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was entering the Lord Jagannath's temple. There was a fixed spot he would enter, and a fixed spot where Govind would wash the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And nobody were even allowed to touch the water, to talk of, drinking it. Lord Chaitanya had a strict warning. Nobody can even touch this water. The water which had washed the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on that day, when Govind was washing his feet, Kalidas came and he drank one palmful of water. Second palmful, third palmful, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, enough. Stop it. He actually allowed Kalidas something which had never allowed anybody. And then he went, fast forwarding the story, he went back to his house. And then Kalidas was waiting at the house of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew it, that he is waiting there. And Mahaprabhu Chaitanya would never, ever, ever give his remnants. But on this day when he knew Kalidas, because he knew the complete faith, the complete conviction that Kalidas had, he told Govind, please take this remnants and give it to Kalidas. And he gave the remnants to Kalidas. And Kalidas honored the remnants of Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprasad. And it's explained by our great Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Very interesting verses, very interesting. He said, Tatha Vaishnavira Juta Khao Chadi Grina Lajja Yaha Haite Paye Nija Vanchita Sabakaja. Very interesting. He said, therefore, giving up hatred and hesitation, two words he's using, Lajja and Grina. When we become so called advanced, we start feeling, oh, well, should I take Mahaprasad? You know, we have this hesitation. Is there really need? We become what we call, Satchidananda Swami calls it, paralysis through analysis. Because we have so much data to analyze because of so-called advancement, we start, so much analysis is there and we become paralyzed through this analysis. And that is the problem. We lose our childlike simplicity. I won't use the word childish, but childlike simplicity of believing what we hear. But we start analyzing, does it really make sense? Is it really true? But he said, the first thing he said, Krishna Kavitar Goswami in Chaitanya Chaitamrita is saying, give up your hatred and hesitation, try to eat the remnants of the food of Vaishnavas, for you will thus be able to achieve the desired goal of your life. Nothing less than that. Nothing less but desired goal of your life. He said, Krishna Uchishta Haya Mahaprasada Nam Bhakta Sesha Haila Maha Mahaprasada Khyana. He said, the remnants of the food offered to the Lord Krishna is called Mahaprasad. And after this same Mahaprasad has been taken by a devotee, the remnants are elevated to Maha Mahaprasad. And then comes a very, very powerful verse. Bhaktapada Dhuliyara Bhaktapada Jal Bhakta Bhukta Avasesha Tina Mahabal. The three powerful substances to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. He said, the dust of the feet of a devotee, the water that has washed the feet of a devotee, and the remnants of the food left by a devotee are three very powerful substances. He said, therefore, my dear devotees, please hear from me. He's saying, please hear from me. For I insist again and again. Now, it's not that Krishna Kavira Goswami was writing a single word in excess or in extra. He is saying, Tata bara bara kahi shuna bhaktagan vishwasa kariya kara ye tina sevan. Tata bara bara. So that's why I am saying, therefore, my dear devotees, please hear from me, for I insist again and again. Please keep faith in these three and render service to them without hesitation. So it is not just we are talking about Mahaprasad. It is important. Mahaprasad is the discussion here, and we must all have complete faith in Krishna's Mahaprasad, the faith that Narad Muni had, the faith that Lord Shiva has, the faith that Narad Muni has. But in general, the faith and the process of Krishna consciousness, that the process works. Let's not just, we do so much analytical that we become paralyzed, and we become so paralyzed we don't understand how to do the process. And that's why in this simple verse, the 10th canto of Bhagavat, the postgraduate study of Krishna, we are here learning this. Sukadeva Goswami is telling us simple in this verse, that just by taking the remnants of Krishna and by having the darshan of Krishna, they took Mahaprasad. But here in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, we hear something much higher than Mahaprasad. We hear of the power of Mahaprasad, the remnants of the devotees. Let us have faith in the process. Bhaktapada Dhuliyara Bhaktapada Jal Bhakta Bhukta Avasesha Tina Mahabal. Let us take advantage of these three powerful substances, have faith in the substances, have faith in the process, and let us make our life perfect. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry I've gone a little overboard, but this verse was so wonderful and we had to do justice to the verse. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.